0866 25000 is the WhatsApp and text number. Keep your comments coming into us. You can also call us, as you know, on 0749125000. Reed Tourism, a caller says, these are too expensive. Look at the NFL at Croke Park, €800 per night. Stop ripping people off. The problem is, right, and I presume you can see the difference between what's happening in Dublin and elsewhere versus what is happening on the West Coast. Would she encourage regulation that at main season and major event times that hotels must not be allowed to hike their prices? Listener wants to know, where did that lady talking and promoting Ireland go on holidays last year? Did she go abroad or tour within Ireland? Well, that's her own personal business. I suspect she wasn't touring. How does supply and demand work? Putting up prices when there's an event locally, this doesn't increase the supply of hotel rooms. It just makes it more expensive for everyone. And last, Glenveagh Castle was always somewhere wonderful that we could bring visitors to Donegal any day of the week, all year round. What if the Americans that came in for the NFL game wanted to visit on Monday or Friday and they couldn't? What does Charlie McConnell think about that after spending $10 million getting the American tourists into Ireland? It's not just that batch of tourists, though. We have tourists into the area all of the time. Right. Sophie Morris is author of Sophie Swaps and is a prominent healthy food advocate and activist, television chef as well. Sophie, good morning to you.
Good morning, Greg. Thanks for having me.
Thanks so much for joining us. You really got into this space, and I hope I'm not timelining this correctly, in 2024. That's at least when you started sort of creating videos to try and raise awareness. What brought you to that point?
Yeah, you're right. No, it was around August 2024 was when I did my first video in the supermarket. And really, it was based on just, I was working with a lot of women and I was seeing how confused they were with the food packaging in the supermarket, getting caught up on the health claims on the front, like high protein, high fiber, low fat, you know, and kind of just being taken in by those health claims on the front, which was, I found, very frustrating, because I could just see how unhelpful food packaging was for people who were well-intentioned people trying to make good choices for their health. And so, you know, I decided to just do the first video very kind of off the cuff. And like, you know, I've been making content for a really long time, you know, different kinds of food content, and it just went viral. And I actually just thought it was a glitch in the algorithm initially.
So back yourself, Sophie.
I was like, what's going on? Yeah, I was like, what's going on? You know, because I've been making content for so long. And then it was actually my husband who said, well, why don't you just try and do another one? You're always banging on about food labels. You know, I kind of burnt the ear off him talking about my frustration with food labels. So then I just did another video the next day, and that one went viral. And so I just started doing them every day, and they all just went crazy. So I realized, wow, this is actually information people don't know and that people really want to hear. Mm. So that's kind of where it all came from.
Yeah. Now, there's a story out today, it's every day effectively, that talks about the fact that low-income families can't afford healthy food. And then you can take it from that, of course, then that, you know, and we see in stats down the line, you know, greater rates of heart disease or cancers or whatever it might be. Now, I'm not in any way trying to diminish that because I know the reality of that. But if we are a bit more savvy, even with limited means, can we eat more healthy? You know, obviously, if you're going to look at all the big brands and everything that's being pushed by influence or what have you, maybe that's out of people's reach. But is a lower income an absolute sort of obstacle to having a better quality diet?
I think it's a really difficult topic because, unfortunately, the food environment is set up in a sense that it makes it so hard for people to make a healthy choice. You know, when you think, you walk into the supermarket, around 70% of the products in the supermarket now are ultra-processed foods. Mm. It's absolutely insane. And, you know, we are bombarded with them everywhere. So I do think it's a real challenge. But I do think my whole message is that we can be savvy. I absolutely think that there is a way for us to save money shopping if we are clever about it. Like, things I like to talk about is, you know, shopping in the freezer aisle. I think frozen vegetables are a really great hack because A, you're not going to be left with waste in your fridge with all, you know, the leftover piece of broccoli that's gone, you know, gone bad. If you and it's extremely affordable to buy frozen vegetables. You can also buy like frozen chopped vegetables, which means cooking from scratch. I know time is an issue for people. Cooking from scratch is a lot quicker because you've got your stuff all chopped up for you. And because it's picked, you know, straight away, the nutrition is actually more nutrient dense than a lot of fresh vegetables that are traveled, you know, from very long distances to get to our shelves. So I think things like using that batch cooking, in a way, like ways that you can cut down on waste, because like the amount of food waste that Irish households, I can't remember the exact number, but it's insane the amount of money that goes into the amount of food.
Can I bring you
waste.
Back to all ultra processed foods? And this also talks to, your swaps. Sometimes it's hard to see the wood for the trees. Like we are inadvertently bringing into our house ultra processed foods. And of course, through your social media posts and now your book, you don't necessarily have to compromise on taste or even value, do you? But you just need to know what you're looking for.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's exactly it. I think people's eyes were just totally opened and people were shocked when I started doing my videos to see that, you know, you could have two simple like ingredient products. Like the soy sauce video I did was huge because, you know, people just think, oh, soy sauce, you know, whichever one you pick up is the same. And they are vastly different, you know, like the Tesco soy sauce, for example, is just sugar and salt and water. And then they only have 10% soy sauce extract in there. But I did show a clip, like Amoy as well uses sugar, caramelized sugar syrup, all these unnecessary additives. But if you swap to the Kikkoman brand, it's actually cheaper and it is just the ingredients that soy sauce should have, you know, four ingredients. Mm. So, you know, reading labels like that is really important and can really help you make those clever swaps, as I say. But another thing that I think has really helped in terms of reducing costs that I talk about is that, you know, people have a long-standing loyalty to brands. Like Bird's Eye Fish Fingers, I think, is such a great example. So people would always, you know, advertising works. We've grown up with the same advertising from Bird's Eye, you know, and you kind of just assume that this is a better quality brand and it's more expensive, it's got to be better. But I've really debunked that by showing, you know, if you swap to any of the supermarket owned brand fish fingers, you know, Tesco, Dunnes, Super Value, any of them, they actually all have a higher percentage of fish than Bird's Eye and they are so much cheaper.
And really, I suppose Bird's Eye have conditioned us to think that by spending a fortune on marketing. And how do they fund that marketing? Maybe it's by putting less fish in the fish fingers.
That's exactly what they do. Yeah. That's exactly what they do. And they have a higher price, not because it's better quality, it's because they need to take a portion of their margin to put towards all that advertising and marketing that we see. Whereas the supermarket owned brand, they don't need that margin for marketing because they don't do it. So they can afford to charge less money and have actually a better quality product. So that's been a real eye opener for people as well.
Yeah. So, I mean, there are obvious brands that were very low to, so, you know, I mean, look at Heinz Beans. If you go over to where a lot of British people go, you'd swear Heinz Beans were the only bean in town, right? But, you know, people will have the favourite ketchup, the favourite brown sauce, the favourite curry sauce, the favourite bran flakes, the favourite this, that and the other. Can you not compromise on taste if you sort of disregard your pointless brand loyalty and sort of follow some of the advice that you give on your videos or actually in this new Sophie Swaps book?
Absolutely. You know, I mean, I've found some amazing clever swaps for a lot of those big brands that we're very loyal to and, you know, they taste better. You know, like, I mean, my kids have completely converted over to the Mama Bear ketchup that I talk about, which is a lovely small Irish brand.
Let's try that.
The sugar content is so much lower than Heinz. Mm. They love that ketchup now. It tastes really good. And, you know, I know a lot of kids love ketchup. Like some kids will only have ketchup with all their meals. But then you feel like if they're having that much ketchup, if you swap to one that's lower sugar, it's reducing their sugar intake by so much. So it's a really clever one, that one. No, but absolutely, we don't need to sacrifice on flavour at all.
Okay, brilliant. So in the book, you've got 50 quick family-friendly recipes, which is good because they prove healthy eating doesn't have to be complicated. And sometimes, with the best will in the world, cookbooks can feel complicated as soon as you see an ingredient you don't even know, let alone where you might even blow in by it. But also to... Yeah. breaking, sort of combating the psychology of how supermarkets are set up. There's billions has gone into research, hasn't there, as to where things are, paying to be at eye height, all that kind of stuff. That's how interesting is it, that sort of, you know, not debunking it, but sort of unpicking, you know, what the supermarkets do to us to try and influence us?
Yeah, I think it's a fascinating area, and that's why I wanted to write about it in my book, because people are very kind of unaware of it. But it's just, I think once you have the awareness, I think you can just be so much more savvy when you walk into that supermarket. And we need to remember, it's not like they are bad or evil or anything. It's just that our whole food system is set up for profit, not for health. And so supermarkets, as soon as you walk into the supermarket, their goal is to extract as much money from us as possible. So much money has gone into the layout of the store, where, you know, smell, sensory things, like, you know, when you walk into the supermarket, and often the bakery will be right there at the entrance. And straight away, if you're shopping hungry, which I always say, don't shop hungry, the smell of that fresh bread or pastries is going to trigger something in you, and you're going to want to go and then buy stuff that you necessarily don't need. So yeah, there's a huge amount of money goes into how supermarkets market all the products in there. And I think that if you're aware of these tactics, you, like I say, awareness is everything. When you walk in, you can be savvy to it and make sure that you're not spending unnecessarily. You know, all those on end of aisle promotions, the 2-for-1, the multi-buys, they work. They really use, you know, human psychology to understand that we feel that there's some scarcity there if we see these kinds of big promotions. So we feel we have to buy them now. And, you know, really, do we actually need those, you know, the 3-for-2, the multi-packs, the large, do we need them? Like, most of the time we don't. It's not actually on our shopping list. So being kind of conscious and aware of those things and to avoid them, you know, can really help your health and your wallet in the end of the day.
I mean, you are a disruptor, I mean, you know, for the industry, because, you know, and we're getting it by people messaging in. They love the social media and they follow you all the time, and great to hear you on. And of course, now you've got this book dropping.
What
it could shake up the industry. You'd hope it might, because, you know, as I say, they will see trends. You know, if you are followed by many, many people and they're switching out brands, they're going to spot that as well, right? So is that's a positive thing, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. That is my main mission, really. And I know it feels like a very big kind of mission to try actually create change in the industry. But that is my ultimate goal. You know, I feel like we are at a place, as I said, where the prevalence of ultra processed foods makes it so hard for people to make healthy choices. And it has to change. We've got to bring that number down of how much ultra processed foods are in our supermarkets. And another big driver of mine is to really, you know, help small Irish food producers who do make amazing quality products, help them become more visible and more viable to survive. Because unfortunately, the way the system is set up, it makes them so hard to survive in a supermarket environment, and so many of them end up closing down. But what my content has proved is that people do want to know about these brands. They do want to know that these products exist. And so if by helping them become more visible, people are actually shopping, you know, they're choosing these products, and the supermarkets have responded. You know, some of the brands that I've called out who were about to be delisted now have multiple retail listings, have huge shelf space, because people are buying them and the supermarkets are responding to that demand. So it's really encouraging to see that. And yeah, that's really my mission, is to keep going in that space.
Finally, before we remind people of the book, it's out now. As a woman who has found herself very popular in social media, everything that comes with that, you are trying to help people make good food choices, better choices, save them money. Surely you aren't subjected to online abuse in this space. So I know the answer to the question, but I'm trying to phrase it that it's so ridiculous that you might be. What is that like?
Thank you.
And what do you have to endure?
Do you know, yeah, thank you so much for saying that. I think at the beginning it hit me quite hard, because I've always, you know, I've worked in the food industry for a really long time. You know, people only know me recently, but I have worked in it for a long time, and I've always just tried to be very positive in everything that I've done. So it did hit me very hard initially, but I guess I've come to realize now, and, you know, I've had other people in the industry who understand what it's like, have really helped me in this space to understand that it kind of is the nature of the beast. You know, I think it happens to anyone who gets to this level of profile who's trying to create change, I suppose. So the way I look at it is, if 99.9% of the messages I receive are extremely positive, which they are, I mean, people's lives have been changed by becoming more aware of what's in the food they're buying. That is 100% true. So as long as I see those, then I know I am doing the right thing and that I have to stay true to my mission. Have to block out the noise.
The truth too is, as well, someone sitting there in the basement typing out a nasty comment, when they've hit return, it's, "Mom, what's for dinner?"
And them 38, and them
38 years of age, they are compensating for their inability to perform, I think, in general society by trying to exercise power, particularly over women. Stuff them. I know it's sometimes hard to block it out, but they aren't worth your time. Right.
Thank you.
Sophie Swaps by Sophie Morris. Thursday, 4th of September, it's out. So it's out now. I'm thinking Christmas. Dare I even say the C word, Sophie? I'm thinking right now. It's out there. You sort of unpick what goes on in supermarkets. There's 50 quick family-friendly recipes. You must be proud to have it out there and to be getting the feedback that you are.
I'm so proud, Greg. Thank you so much. It's been such a labor of love and passion of mine, and the way it's been received is just phenomenal. Like, people have really supported it, but also people's reaction to it. People are just loving it, the information, the recipes. So it means so much to me. And, you know, I even just heard yesterday it's the number one non-fiction paperback book for the fourth week running now this week. So I'm over the moon, absolutely thrilled.
Yeah, that's testimony to its success. You could do a Sophie's Radio Swaps now, right? So you could do, bear with me, it's a plan. So, we do quite well here, don't worry about it. But you could say, right, so you can have Pat Kenny, right? But you can get this leaner, sexier, younger option.
I love it.
On Highland Radio. Could this work?
Sophie's Radio Swap.
I'm only messing. Listen, Sophie, best of luck with everything. Love to the family and congratulations
Thank
on
you
your
so
success.
Much, Greg.
And the difference you're making.
Lovely to chat to you. I appreciate it so much.
Bye.
Thanks so
Look
much.
After yourself.
Bye.
All right, that's Sophie Bye-bye. Swaps there. Sophie Swaps. It's Sophie Morris of Sophie Swaps. Delighted to hear Sophie, says a listener. Follow her online and so informative. Best of luck. Keep up the great work. That comes in from Anne Marie. Another, I follow Sophie on Instagram. Great book too. Could you ask her about celiac ingredients? All the bread and food contains a lot of artificial stuff. I'm so sorry I didn't get to that one on time, but you know what? Maybe Sophie might join us again in the future and answer more of those sort of specific questions. We just wanted to give her an opportunity to get the message of our book out there. And I didn't realise, and I was about probably 30 seconds into that conversation before I realised that I've watched a lot of Sophie's videos. I don't want to look at names or whatever. It's just the info I'd be absorbing. And so there you go. It's Wednesday, which means we look forward to Highland Radio's Business Matters podcast, but not before we extract some business news from its presenter, Chris Ashmore. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Greg.
Rightio, Letterkenny Chamber are on it in terms of one of the biggest problems for businesses.
Yes, indeed. Scams. Now, a couple of facts just to start off with. Last couple of years, over 17 million euro has been lost by small and medium enterprises in this country through just email related scams. And online card payments have accounted for some 37 million euro worth of fraud in the last year. So the threat of fraud touches us all. And Letterkenny Chamber of Commerce on Thursday, October the 9th, that's Thursday of next week, giving you a bit of advance notice. In the Century Complex in Letterkenny, they are having an event all about giving you advice and tips in relation to what to look out for. The event starts at 8:30 in the morning. By the way, there will be tea, coffee and pastries before the speakers get underway. The event is complimentary for Chamber members, but is open to everyone to attend. And look, this is a chance to stay ahead of the fraudsters. There'll be practical tips and insights insights from Audrey Doherty and John Heron from the AIB, who specialise in this area. And there'll be a representative from the fraud section of the Gardaí there as well. So look, if you're in business, this could save you. Who knows how much you could come across something and pick up something very much from this meeting. So well worth going to if you can.
Yeah, a lot of that stuff online too, but it's interesting. We've seen an increase in the circulation of dud sterling notes. And I was saying to Garda Grania when she was in, I don't think I could, I don't know what a proper note looks like now. I mean, obviously there are ways you can test it. There's a little thing up in the top right-hand corner that you can peel back. But, you know, I just don't really handle an awful lot of cash, certainly not foreign currency, if I could label it as such. Right, International Women's, blooming hell, another Women's Day.
Yes.
Can I just say that's a joke, by the way?
Thursday, 16th of October, Greg, mark it in your diary. It's National Women's Enterprise Day. So here in Donegal, the local enterprise office hosting an event in the Mount Errigal Hotel. And Orla Hassan, who's a transformational coach, she'll be there. A number of speakers. There'll be a panel discussion with the likes of Olivia Finney from New Kid Coffee here in Letterkenny, Sally Murphy of Well Told, involved in the network, and Caroline McLaughlin from Morgan Stanley. There'll be a networking session with Miranda Rosenberg. So lots going on there, and you can register through the local enterprise office for that event. Great chance for people to network in that as well.
Yeah, for sure. Always good to be looking to expand markets or see where you can sell your products or your services into. Perhaps never more so now, you know, with the imposition of tariffs, and maybe this is an opportunity to get along to the Northwest Business Summit. It might tick some of those boxes.
Yes, now this is the second such Northwest Business Summit, and it's going to be all about looking at Asia. There'll be a panel, they'll be looking at AI investment, global trade strategy, and essentially for people in this part of the world who may be looking to get into the Asian market. So it's been hosted in partnership with the ATU and supported by Donegal County Council, Technology Ireland, the Small Firms Association and Letterkenny Chamber, 23rd of October. And you can register online for that. It takes place in the Radisson Blue Hotel in Letterkenny.
Let's get on to the podcast. Purple Velvet, delicious stuff. Had it before.
Yes.
And this forms part of your podcast.
Indeed. My guest this week, Diane Nesbitt, who founded Purple Velvet. Now, nice little story behind this. She'd worked in the fashion industry, lives in Glenmaquin, just outside Letterkenny, on the between Letterkenny and Convoy. During COVID, was at home, had a lot of time in her hand. She started to make some cupcakes, got good reaction. Now, that's not that long ago, Greg. She now employs 11 people.
It's really impressive. That's a very significant business.
Yeah, in just supporting a short 11 space. People, 11. Yeah. So she does bespoke, be it birthday cakes, special occasion cakes, all sorts of cookies and treats. And she has a...
And where are they?
And well, now there she has the purple.
No, I'm not about where. Surely you brought some of the products for me to eat.
I'll show you them online later.
Okay, I'll lick the screen. Can I lick your laptop? Again.
So, Purple Velvet, initially it was just local people. She got the orders and it gradually grew and grew organically. And then she opened up a coffee outlet on the side of the road in the Ballyraine area of Letterkenny, which does great business. There's a range of 21 different treats that she does there. She supplies coffee shops and outlets throughout the county. Also has an app and gets a lot of online orders. But, you know, a great example of somebody who started small, got a really good product, and the fact that she has created those jobs, it's quite a story. And we have a couple of clips, and very much a people person as well.
Networking through business and networking through different female entrepreneurs was something that was very new to me. And I'm very much a head down, get the work done kind of person. And I would have been the first person to say, I don't have time to be running to do that or to meet with those people. Or that is the one thing that you cannot invest enough time in, is actually networking. It's amazing, and you will learn so much. It doesn't matter where you go, you'll always come away with nuggets that you're going, I actually didn't think on that that way. And again, as much as it's really, it's great to hear about people's successes, success never comes without failure. You know, and even for us talking, yes, we have this lovely, successful story and it has been a world one, but there's been lots of different things that I have tried and tested within those 5 years that didn't work. So I always think I like to learn from people's failures as well as their successes. And we're very lucky in Donegal because, you know, we have the Donegal Women in Business. There's different things out there.
Seems to be a common message from entrepreneurs and famous commentary from the likes of Richard Branson and what have you, that you do have to stumble on your way to success sometimes. That's where you learn.
Yeah, so much is word of mouth, and you could go to an event and you just don't know who you're going to meet. Mm. You don't know what doors it's going to open. So she's a big fan of networking and getting out there. Also, over the short period of time that she's been in business, obviously there's been challenges. One of them, and we'll hear about this now in a moment, is the cost of inputs has gone up so much. So that was one of the things that she uses Belgian chocolate. And, you know, she had to decide when the price went way up, how do you adjust your price? Mm-hmm. Do you you have to be careful. You don't want to put off customers. And then, as she mentions in the clip as well, you know, people are used to getting a certain product and they don't want to notice a change in the taste. So that's included in this next clip, along with a couple of other good points.
Anyone that has ever heard me talk or anyone that knows me, is something that I always say, especially when I'm talking within business, is you can have the best product or service in the world, but people buy people. And I think that's something for us that has been very evident. If you treat people right, good things naturally happen around you. So whether that is your staff, whether it is your customer, no matter what it is, and right down to whenever we are choosing the ingredients, the customer is at the forefront of the mind of our mind all the time. And it's something that we really had to look at whenever there was an increase in prices. Like, for example, 10 kilos of chocolate, when we started out in the business, we use the best Belgian chocolate that we can physically source and get our hands on. So 10 kilos back then was costing us €84. Today it costs us €189 for 10 kilos. So at that point, I had a choice to make. I'm like, do we go for a lesser grade chocolate and, you know, try and retain the price for the customer? And in the end up, I played around or whatever, but that was, there wasn't, the customer then was getting shortchanged because they've got used to a level as well and a level of the standard of ingredient. So the other side of it is I couldn't pass that cost on to that extent. So you're sitting there going, right, okay, we're having to run a business, we're having to pay the bills, but what do we do? So we met it in the middle. So we didn't pass the full cost. So we took a hit as a business on that. But then what we'd done by doing that, we naturally, organically grew the business and increased the sales. So that absorbed that shortfall. So that was the right thing to do by the customer. And it paid off.
Interesting fork in the road moment there, and choosing the right path. Obviously, good business acumen, Chris.
Yes, and she's a very interesting person to talk to. She has plans ahead, which, based on the way things have gone the last few years, I suspect strongly that she will continue to employ not just 11 people, but more in the future.
Right, the full interview is available on the podcast, which is going up today. So you can listen to that at your leisure from today. Just go to our website, go to the playback section where you get the podcast of this show, the school show, DL Debate, etc., and Chris's show there as well. A lot of on-demand stuff actually here from Highland Radio, by the way, just something we perhaps don't push enough. But anyway, there you go. There's a lot of content there for you, from sport to business to current affairs and much more as well. And you can tune into the podcast on the radio. At that point, it will be a program. It's on Sunday, right?
That's right, Greg. It's on Sunday following the news at 6 o'clock. So just after 6 o'clock on Sunday.
And if you want to contact Chris, businessmatters at highlandradio.com. Chat to you next Wednesday, all being well.
Thank you.
Back after the break. Now, 086 60 25 000, that's the WhatsApp and text number, or give us a call on 074 91 25 000. I mention it so frequently because we love to hear from you, and we often do, which is great. Right. Now, you heard me mention this at the top of the programme, that the man convicted of raping and murdering Donegal woman Danielle McLaughlin is seeking a suspension of his life sentence until the High Court in Bombay, India, decides on his appeal. That decision is due around about October 13th, though we do know these dates can slip. Andrea Branigan is Danielle's mother and joins me on the programme now. Thanks for chatting to me, Andrea.
No problem at all.
When we spoke to you just after the conviction of this person, Bhagat, I think, you know, there was a knowledge between you and your legal team and that, you know, there is a process still to be gone through, that an appeal was likely. Did you anticipate, though, that part of that process might involve this person being out on the streets again?
No, I didn't realise that they even could even ask for this when the appeal was going on. I knew they appealed, but I didn't think they could ask for this part of it, that he would be let go until the appeal's heard. And the appeal hearing would take a couple of years.
Which is just unimaginable, isn't it? I mean, that doesn't make sense. How could someone who's been found guilty of such an awful crime exploit the law effectively by being out able to do it again whilst appealing that conviction? That I mean, obviously there must be some provision for it in law over there, but it doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense to me at all, because he got out in bail the day that he killed Danielle. And so he's been in now for over 8 years. So what's he going to do now this time? You know what I mean? I believe that he either could abscond or he could do it again.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, he knows the weight of evidence against him. Why would you hang about to spend the rest of your life in prison, potentially? You know, I mean, I'm not in any way saying that's what I would do, but that's the concern I would have. And Andrea, this is another date, and I tried to articulate this at the start of the show, just when we would hope that maybe you can get a bit of space to sort of process things and move forward. This is another date now, mid-October. You're living in this suspense now, not knowing what's it. Have you learned to cope with it, Andrea, or is it an absolute nightmare for you?
No, I really didn't expect this. Like, I was told about the appeal that he did appeal, but I thought, oh, that's all right. That's a couple of years down the road. It's nothing to worry about. So I was trying to blank it out, and then I got informed then at the weekend then that they're hearing it's the 13th of October for him to get out. Until the appeal's heard.
Is there the hope that this case is so high profile, and to some extent the Indian judiciary was on trial as well, that they will refuse it? Is that the hope of hopes?
That's my hopes.
Yeah.
But I'm still waiting I haven't heard from anybody. I'm waiting to hear this week what they think could happen. Like, the embassies are all trying to get out. Nobody expected this. Mm. So they're all trying to find out now what's going on, what's happening.
Do you have right to sort of legal representation at the hearing on October 13th?
That's what they're all trying to find out as well.
Yeah. See, this is the problem. You're always in the blooming dark because of the system and because of the distance between here and there.
So, like, literally, like, the embassy, kind of, the UK and the Irish embassy, both on Sunday, Monday, they both tried to find out, but they're waiting in word now back from Monday with the time difference and all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and
I'm hoping to hear either today or tomorrow.
I mean, obviously, governments or embassies aren't going to directly interfere in a criminal case, but I think they certainly could make submissions to states that this is dangerous, this is not the right thing to do. You know, I think you need backing on this, Andrea.
They can't intervene, but they can attend.
Yeah, okay. Well,
I'd say look good for me, like, because I chose it. She's still getting represented. She's not forgot about, like.
Mm, exactly, yeah. Okay, well, what can we do other than wait till October 13th? I hope you're successful in at least getting a presence in the court. You know, on the hope that they don't believe over there that this can be brushed under the carpet or anything. And maybe that's not even the motivation, but in the absence of knowledge, your mind goes to the worst places, Andrea. And I'm a bystander. I'm watching on, so I can only imagine.
Well, like,
what
I know, like with him, like, he's done a lot of crimes in jail, so I'm hoping that this will kind of go in our favour.
Right. Okay.
Like, only recently, like about 2 months ago, he was caught sending threats via text.
Oh, What a nasty
two thing. Witnesses and another case nothing to do with him.
Okay, right. Well then.
So I'm hoping like, and then him starting riots and all different things. I'm hoping these all kind of go my favour and it helps him knock it out.
Right. Well, we're sharing those wishes with you, and obviously thinking on you and the rest of the family, Andrea. We'll keep an eye on it. Thanks for joining me this morning.
Thank you very much. Right, thank you very much. Yourself, Andrea, thank bye-bye. You.
Right, that's Andrea Branigan there, who is obviously Danielle's mother. She's waiting now in this vacuum once again to find out on October 13th if Bhagat will be released as he appeals that conviction. The appeal could take a number of years, so the threat is that he could be out on the streets. Now, not only is he responsible for the brutal murder and assault of Danielle, as you heard from Andrea too, he's a very unpleasant character beyond that. In terms of intimidating witnesses, trying to influence witnesses, and disturbances in jail. So you would hope, in prison, you would hope that that goes against him and he remains behind closed doors so he can't do the same to somebody else that he did to our Danielle. Right, moving on now, and just back to the issue of tourism and facilities and what have you. A caller says, in relation to your topic discussed a few weeks ago on public toilets, I attended Listowel races and had to use the facilities of public toilets in over five different towns in Kerry. I was very impressed. None of these toilets were Portaloos. Rather solid buildings, hot water, toilet paper. Wish you had this facility to offer in Donegal. Maybe we should learn from Kerry. Well, that's interesting, isn't it? What might be happening down in Kerry and the pressure that might be on the powers that be to do the right thing from certain representatives down there. Staying with tourism, it's almost like the government's trying to self-destruct this country. Cost of living through the roof, people taxed to the hilt, dumping ground of the EU for data centres, though there's less interest in data centres here now. Planning on shutting down the Airbnbs, hotels full of migrants, so no room at the inn. Okay. No tourists, local business, pub, cafes, restaurants, shops unable to survive because of no tourists, completely dependent on US companies, which is under threat at the expense of local businesses, tourism, farming, etc. Nothing the government is doing makes sense. Last one, if the VAT rate is reduced, when will we see the prices on the menu in hotels and pubs drop? You see, this is the thing. The whole idea, Noel, is not that it makes it cheaper necessarily per se for you to go in. It's that it actually makes the business viable. So the VAT rate, if it goes down to 9%, it doesn't mean everything goes down to 9% because the profit margins also go down. The idea, I presume, is that that makes their high electricity bills some of the highest in Europe, the highest input costs, again, some of the highest in Europe, the relatively high, although this is an area that I think it's important people are paid a wage, but the high level of wage here compared to competitive or other markets, you know, the VAT and tax on food and booze, the cost of getting Sky Sports in, the cost of insurance, all costs that are far in excess of what you might see in competing European countries. So, Noel, the VAT rate, I don't think there's any promise or commitment that it gets passed on. It just means that those businesses are there to you know, hire our families and bring money into the area. All right, I'm going to speak to Harry after these messages. Cloudy today with scattered outbreaks of rain and drizzle, highest temperatures of 15 to 17 degrees. Just a reminder for you, there might well be some weather warnings, whether they're yellow or whatever they might be. Things are going to get wet and very windy on Friday through Saturday, easing on Sunday. We're looking at potentially strong to near gale force and gusty southwesterly winds. So I'm only saying it in case there's stuff that maybe you need to bring in or put away or whatever, or maybe you want your neighbours to have the trampoline. That's up to you. Right, Harry's with me now. Henry, you're of the view that we're pricing ourselves out of tourism effectively. Give me your views, please. Thank you.
Well, basically all I can say, I mean, I knew myself because I go regular to Donegal that how expensive it would be if you were to bring back my daughter and two grandchildren, which I'd done, I think it was 2023. I was well aware of the prices. I mean, the cottage we rented was not overpriced compared to other properties in the area. I mean, hotels were completely off the radio price-wise, but we were happy with a good, clean cottage. And as I say, I was aware of how much it would cost. And obviously, we would do a shop. I'm not even said to my daughter, I says, don't be bothered too much, because when you go out here in the morning, if you go anywhere, you'll be having lunch out and you'll be having dinner out by the time you travel 30, 40 miles to some function or an excursion that we were doing. But between the price of the car, everything, that, you know, the rental, I mean, and spending money for 10 days, it was well over £6,000.
What? £6,000 sterling?
Yes, £6,000.
How many of
you,
Henry?
Myself and a daughter and two grandchildren.
My God.
But, that, I mean, the place we rented, plus the car, flights from England, was in the region of about 2,700 before we started doing anything, you know.
Okay.
I think my wife was very ill for years, which sadly she's passed.
I'm sorry to hear that.
I wanted to bring my grandkids back just to show them the culture, because my parents were from Donegal, and that was the main reason. As I say, I'm not complaining about it, because I'm just saying that...
No, you're putting a figure on it. So for 10 days... two adults, two kids, effectively. Did you say six or seven? Well, sorry, over six. I was so shocked.
Yeah, well, that was roughly around the region. You could probably take 1,000 of that off that, because we were in the middle of it. There was a wedding, and we obviously couldn't stop in the rental accommodation on that particular night, because I would have a few beers and I was the only driver.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you took 1,000 of that off, because of the hotel and different things that we were doing. But that was basically it. But all I'm saying is that a lot of people couldn't afford to do that. I mean, I'm not saying I was well off or something, but I could afford to do them. I was well aware of the price. But when I come back and I'm talking to people, and they say, oh, I'd love to go to Ireland, but some of them have been, and they'd say it's very expensive. Very loved foods, lovely, and all the rest of it. But it's just that expensive, like, to go to, especially...
Well, also, there are options, you see, that's the problem, you know. Nowadays, you can fly wherever the hell you like, you know, you can look at a package holiday in Spain or Portugal, maybe look at the weather, you know, 6,000. I mean, you're in cruise territory there, aren't you?
Well, more or less you are. I mean, that's what I was more or less comparing it to package holidays or exclusives that I've done before in the past. And you're guaranteed the weather wherever we're going, whether it be Spain or Portugal. Obviously, going back to Ireland, you're not guaranteed the weather. It could be summertime. But I remember as kids, we would go back for 6 weeks when the school broke up, and it seemed to go with sunshine, but and you would be stopping with your grandparents, and it wasn't costing anything, like, really. But as I say, I'm not complaining about it.
This is the reality. Outlining the reality to of your experience,
I was at a funeral there about 6 months ago, and I was chatting to this lad. And we grew up together at the same junior schools, and his parents used to take them back as well. And I just said, do you go back there very often now? He says, I couldn't afford to go back there now. He says, if I do go back, I'll go back on my own. He says, and I'll get stopping a relation or something, because it would be too expensive to bring the family, you know.
All right, it's a fascinating insight, Henry, and it's quite clear you're not criticising it, you're not giving out, you're just saying that's the reality of a relatively, it's not like there were 50 of you, you know, there was four of you. Okay, Henry, listen, thanks for that. Do you listen to us daily, do you, Henry, or...?
Obviously, I might be at work during the day. I'm off this week because I think I've got a bit of flu or COVID or man flu, call it whatever you like. But normally I listen to the in the evening. Right. I put it on back on YouTube. You know, it saves watching all the repeats that you get on the BBC and the ITV.
You're damn right. And I'm not looking for any licensed pair of money. You can head to the chemist now and get yourself some man up pills, Henry.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I mean, the thing is, I love the Liverpool, and I wanted the grandkids to see it, and to show them around. I didn't begrudge them when I'm talking about the money that's spent. I didn't begrudge them.
No, and I know there was something a bit more deeper in that trip between you and your grandkids, and also I can sense that whatever it was worth it to you, because it was not just a holiday. There was something else going on there. So I'm glad you have the memories. As you said, you're not complaining. You're just laying the facts out there. There's something for you to compare it to. Now, you were getting 200 a night for four people. You can see why hotels wouldn't have been an option.
Oh, yeah, oh, definitely. I mean, that was ruled out straight away. Like, that was definitely straight away. Because, when you're going and it's exclusive, there's always a swimming pool and everything and that. And that's what I started looking at. But, I mean, as soon as I looked at some, I'm not going to name the hotel, but they had pools. It was just, you couldn't even look at it, like, you know.
Yeah, okay.
But, listen. I mean, when I come home from work, I really miss Holland. I always watch it on the YouTube in the evenings, because I find the vast majority of the topics are very interesting. Good. I love the debates, and yourself and the team are doing a great job.
Lovely, Henry. Listen, that's really nice of you. Thank you so much. I hope you get well soon, and I hope everything generally is going well for you. And we really appreciate you listening. And it's I'm not glad that you're not well, but you'll be okay. But it's nice to be able to speak to you live, Henry. Thank you for that.
Yeah, no problem, Greg.
Good man, Henry. Take care of yourself. That's Henry there. Lovely man. No, I don't have a break to go, so I have comments, which is great. If a crime is in progress, come in and arrest the perpetrators and don't give them advance warning by arriving with sirens wailing. It would appear that Gardaí do not want to catch the criminals, which is why antisocial behaviour is at an all-time high. I'm going to disagree with you on this. If I were in the corner of a park and someone was at me with a knife, or even threatening me with a knife, I'll be honest with you, them being discouraged from stabbing me or running off would be more important to the Gardaí sneaking in and catching them. And I'm just being, all I can ever be on this show is honest, and that's me being completely honest. I would want sirens going, lights going, and I'd want whoever was about to stab me, preferably arrested, but in the first instance, discouraged from plunging that knife into me. Back to Diffin. In a controlled environment, Diffing is not dangerous, but the public should not be expected to fund this. There are a small number of cars specifically adapted for this and are not road legal. But the point that is being continuously ignored is that people are modifying their everyday cars, which means they are no longer insured for the road. That's a broad stroke. I get where you're coming from, but some of the people we're talking to aren't even of age to legally drive on the road. Coastal flooding. Coastal flooding are all exacerbated by historic mistakes locally by having facilitators rather than regulators. In Ballybofey and Letterkenny were to flood tomorrow. Does anyone know where the water is going to actually end up and in which sitting rooms? Think of when building a dike on the sand shore as a child. Fill here, the water goes there. Reap what you sow, folks. Insurance companies overreaction for mistakes already made. Back to Diffin. I bet the Differs are a lot safer on the roads than the complainers who cannot stand anyone doing anything. I appreciate that. Just on the noise comment in Thorndale when the Diffing is on, that would be coming from King of the Cone in Bonagie, not the more rural Ferry's Yard. Another one, good morning. Why can the cars not go to Manor and the halfway racetrack? Thanks. And now a mixture. On divorce, the Laura Dowling Experience is a podcast on divorce. It's very informative and worth a listen. You can get it on Spotify streaming services, also, I think, on YouTube. On buses, why is there still no proper Letterkenny Town bus service? It was promised early last year for 2025. Now it's late 25 and nothing. We might do a follow-up on that, actually. I think that's an interesting question. Can you have Patrick McGowan come on to explain what's happening with the state of all roads in Castlefin and Ballybofey and Stranorlar? Their services is like the moon. Do you know what? Whether it's Patrick or somebody else, what is going on with roads in that electoral area, in the Finn Valley area? I attended, hundreds of council meetings over the years, and often reps in that area felt they were the poor cousin with the way money was distributed. But you know what? A lot of people are complaining about the roads in that area. It's our duty, our job to sort of have a conversation about that and figure it out. But a caller says, Glenties to Letterkenny, that road is third world standards. All right, and on it goes. Thank you for all of your comments. Any you didn't get to, of course, we'll bring to you tomorrow, Thursday show, Wednesday, gone. It's in the bin. But we'll be back tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock for me, Greg Hughes, and Caroline Ohu, who researched and produced the show. Have a great day.